Bones, 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 bones.
Tubs, tubs,
tubs, tubs. And tubs and podcasts.
I'm going to apologize to everybody this week. The fucking ragweed or whatever it is.
Man, it's killing. It's killing everybody.
I started taking olive leaf, which helps get rid of it. Better than an allergy medicine. But
yeah, I take it as well. So
I left it in my bathroom sink cabinet thing, which absorbed some moisture.
Hold on one second. I got some technical difficulties here. The mic just wants to, like, droop.
I get it.
Okay, so
today
is a Tuesday. It's officially fall.
I feel like a basic white bitch because I'm all like, it's hoodie season.
Yeah.
And where they're all wearing, like, the fluffy, frilly shit and drinking and eating and snorting everything pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
I just want to wear an Under Armour hoodie.
I told you the other day, it's cardigan season again.
See it. I saw it when you opened the door this morning.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Yeah. I started my work this morning, you know, doing my my map drawing stuff and some journal writing. And I started out, you know, I had my cup of coffee and sat at the desk and just in a t-shirt. And I was like,
something's missing.
I'm missing something. Yeah. And so I went and got my cardigan on.
It's good.
You know, it's not quite Minnetonka's yet. As you can see, I'm barefoot right now.
Yeah, you're some weird crosslands.
Yeah.
Shorts, cardigan, barefoot.
It's just not there yet. I haven't made it all the way.
Yeah.
You know.
I get it.
Other than what's been going on in the news here recently, actually, I was talking to I was talking to Mr. Got Blood Outdoors himself yesterday, actually.
You can find him on YouTube.
Yeah, we were talking about multiple things, including cannibalism in the near future and whatnot.
I got a barbecue sauce for everything.
He literally said that.
Yeah, just like that almost.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
like not. Yeah, I mean, you do a pretty good impression of him.
I'm
so
almost there.
But we were talking. I was talking to him yesterday, and he wanted my personal opinion on the Kavanaugh hearings.
What do you think of that Kavanaugh guy?
And he's like, and I told him straight up what I think. I was like, it seems weird that this dude's like basically been putting his dick in people's faces for years, and this is the first time we're hearing about it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's got nothing to do with the fact he's about to, or is on the Supreme Court. Has it been confirmed yet?
No. Okay. And here's the thing. So he was supposed to have they were supposed to vote tomorrow, Wednesday.
Yeah.
On him. But now that one woman, I can't remember her name, she postponed and said she couldn't do her hearing until Thursday.
Kill yourself.
So now they had to postpone the vote. I read an article about that, actually, that said that that was all strategic. Like, they wanted to postpone the vote because now they're going to have to wait to postpone the vote, and they're trying to push the vote back till after the election in the hope that they win seats. And in turn...
A lot of hopes.
Yeah.
A lot of hopes.
They win all those good seats, the Democrats, that is.
This fake-ass blue wave they're talking about.
Yeah, that they win all them seats, and they will be able to permanently stall Trump's attempt to fill that spot.
Hmm. Yeah, I was talking to a fellow worker at the Factory of Sadness the other day, and they were talking like, you think that they're trying to postpone this because they're trying to steal the elections? And I said, yes.
Yeah.
Without knowing anymore.
Yeah.
Yes, there will be voter fraud. There will be much attempt at manufacturing a blue wave that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Even though a representative in Texas just won a district that has not been Republican in 123 years.
Hmm. Nice.
In a predominantly black and Hispanic area.
Yeah.
I have a bad feeling for them.
Trump train.
Like, no, I'm not Trump training.
No, that sounds like they're Trump training.
Yeah, and it like everyone was like, how did this dude win, this Republican, in a district controlled by 70% African-American and Hispanic voters?
I've got an idea. Would you like to hear it? Most of them didn't know the history of the Democratic Party.
Now they do.
Until someone was like, why don't you vote for the party that freed you from slavery? Yeah. Why don't you vote for the party that didn't start the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. And they were like, man, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And then they were like, man, fuck the Democrats.
Yeah.
That's just my theory.
I mean, I don't really give, like...
That's how it would go down if I was black.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, I don't like either party for that, really, at all. But here's the thing. Like, if I look at the two, and there's one I despise way more than the other...
Yeah.
I want to see him die first.
Yeah, of course.
Like, imagine, like, they're just in front of you, and you shoot both of them.
You only had one bullet?
Well, no, I got two bullets. Don't and you got both of them there, the Democrat, but the thing is, like, say, for example, like...
Allegedly, too, by the way.
Yeah, allegedly. This is just hypothetical. Like, you had them both sitting there, and you shot one. You had your choice. You could only shoot one in the head and one in the gut.
Yeah.
I'm shooting the Democrat in the head.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shoot the Republican in the gut.
Right.
Because...
Slow death.
Yeah, slow death. Mm-hmm. But I hate him less.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Bang.
Yeah. Because the other one poses far more an imminent threat than the other one does.
Yeah.
Like, they've never... Like, Republicans have always been in bed with, like, mixing money and politics together. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's not... That's And the thing is, like, that's not in the guise of a happy free market capitalistic society as it is.
We should have a test for all of them. Like, the ones that want to get in there. Yeah. Or the ones that are already in there. You know, have you seen those... I want to say they're like Japanese shows because they're the ones that are the weirdest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they put on some type of thing around their dick to see when they get hard, and they make them watch like a whole bunch of shit.
Oh.
And they try to like see, you know, what the craziest thing is that people are attracted to.
Yeah.
I think that in order to be considered for any office, they should make you watch like some kids, you know, run around or play at a playground. And anybody that has a weird reaction should just automatically get shot in the head.
Yeah.
Sitting or attempting to sit in one of those seats.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's just where my head's at.
I see where you're going with that.
Before we get any farther into our ranting and raving, I'd like to give a shout out to our newest patron supporter, Steve Kaminsky. I hope I said your name right. I've been suffering with people saying my name wrong my entire life.
Yeah.
So I understand it. The struggle is real. Over at the Baked and Awake podcast, you know.
I had a high administrator. Let's say line manager at the Factory of Sadness.
Yeah.
Call me by a completely different name the other day.
Yeah, that's fine.
I've been at the factory for almost 8 years.
Yeah.
They don't know my name.
It's funny because a few weeks ago when we all got name tags, they spelled your name wrong in the name tag too.
And I laughed. I think it's all hilarious.
It's hilarious. Steve, we thank you for your patronage.
Yes.
We are going to patron you back because that's what we do here. Pew,
pew, pew, pew, pew. But,
and... Wasn't there something else?
Yes.
Oh, yes. The promo swap.
Yes.
I'm player one, Toby.
And I am player two, Goose.
And we are the Secret Levels Podcast.
We are a very short, fast, and funny podcast about the classic video games that you love and some newer ones. We slam through them one episode at a time. We try to keep it within the 30-minute limit and keep you that fast and funny, which we only deliver, folks.
And we're going to touch on games from all different types of systems, from Nintendo to Sega to PlayStation.
We're doing from 1942 to Zelda, because we're not counting numbers. Everything's part of the alphabet here on this show.
So check out our show on all the major podcasting platforms and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Secret Levels Pod.
Do that or get a game over, folks.
And I like it. It's more of that milk that Bones enjoys.
Video games.
Video games podcast. It's roughly 30 minutes. Get on there. Eat your fucking retro heart out.
My poor Xbox controller is collecting dust.
Man. So is my PlayStation controller.
It's just I haven't had a chance to play here lately. I think I'm going to play a little bit today, though.
Secret Levels, if you guys are listening, I would love it if you did an episode on Two Crude Dudes, Sega Genesis.
That'd be awesome.
That's my shit.
Yeah.
In the year 2000, after nuclear fallout, these two steroid boys get a contract with lots of zeros from the government to fight that crime. You basically just go through every apocalyptic scenario you can imagine. You can punch, kick, you can jump, and you can throw stuff. Cars, people, rocks, so traffic lights.
Let me get this straight. There's two...
Two crude boys.
Two boys.
Yeah.
And are they in fact crude?
Haven't we played this before?
No.
I could have swore that back in the day we played this at the doctor's house when we were 10 sheets.
Maybe we did, but we were, you got to remember, we were many sheets to the wind.
We were those drug boys.
We were those descended into madness kind of boys.
I'm pulling it up on Google real quick. I can hear that one cocksucker on YouTube. Get to the fucking topic already.
Jesus Christ. What are you guys talking about?
Fucking go sit on a dick.
Okay, yeah, I do remember that game.
Yeah.
And just to throw that out there, for anybody that's listening to the show and they're like, God damn it, when are you going to the fucking topic?
Yeah.
This first few minutes, just so you know, this is your time where you could be making mac and cheese.
Yeah.
If you really just wanted to get in the juice of the topic, the way to watch the Bones of Tubbs or listen to the Bones of Tubbs podcast is as follows. If you want to listen to the whole thing, enjoy it thoroughly.
We know most of you do.
I would advise, one, you find a comfy couch.
Yeah.
And you lay upon it.
Mm-hmm.
In the dark.
Put your phone on a spoon.
Yeah.
Light the spoon up and inject the Bones of Tubbs podcast in its wholeness.
And just lay in the dark and absorb it that way.
Yeah.
Now, if you're the busybody type that, you know, this show is something you listen to, like, I don't know, like, doing the lawn. I don't see why there'd be a problem why we talk like this at the beginning.
Right.
But, like, if you're, like, some type, you're sitting at your office desk, and you're like, oh, I want to listen to this, and you click on it, and you're like, oh, darn it. Just either, A, skip the first 10 or so minutes.
Yeah.
And then, or you could just let it play and go make some mac and cheese.
I'd like to remind you, a quote from Lao Tzu. I made that up. I don't know who said it.
Okay.
But let's just say Lao Tzu said it.
Yeah.
Talking about meditation. Mm-hmm. And if you change the word meditation for the Bones and Tubbs podcast, if you don't have 3 minutes to meditate, you need 30.
Yeah.
But as long as you can basically have time to breathe, you have time to meditate.
Yeah.
If you got time to breathe, you got time to listen to Bones and Tubbs podcast.
Yeah.
Which is in itself a form of meditation.
Mm-hmm. So go make that mac and cheese. It's actually about time for you to come back from your mac and cheese break.
Stir it up.
Jeff. No, not Jeff. That's my brother-in-law's name.
My name is Jeff.
Teddy. Yeah. All right. Hey, Teddy, we're back. We're back. You missed all the crazy banter that started the episode out.
Yeah.
I hope your mac and cheese is moist and wanting.
Yeah.
I hope it makes that sound like...
Yeah.
For the ASMR crowd out there.
Mm.
But anyway, so today's topic is kind of it's kind of coming back to something we've talked about before.
Yeah.
But we kind of feel like we wanted to talk about it again for any new listeners that haven't been in our back catalog before.
I don't know if you felt the same way I did, but it was like when I was able to look at some things,
mm-hmm.
get some links saved to pull up statistics and what have you.
Yeah.
But every time I thought about it, it always went down the same road.
Mm-hmm.
It always took me to the area of, like, what if?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure we're going to berate them, you, the listener, the Bones and Tubbs Nation, with statistics.
Yeah.
Crazy numbers that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some of those numbers that you could chalk up to people that willingly went missing. They wanted to leave. They went out on the ether on their own.
Yeah.
People that had some sort of accidental death.
Or people that, you know, wanted to be missing.
That's what
they wanted to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you chose to, you accidentally died, you got attacked by an animal, one of those things. There's a lot that don't fit that category, though.
Exactly. And just to break down the numbers real quick. So 2,300 people go missing every day in the United States. Of the 2,300, most are found. So, I didn't mean to scare you with that first one. I'm not like fake news, and I'll just throw up the 2,300 and be like, 2,300 people go missing. No, most of them are found.
Right.
But of that 2,300, 5 to 6 of them remain missing.
Yeah.
5 to 6 every day.
That's a lot. In the aggregate, you know?
Yeah, when you add it up, you wonder. Since 2001, over 1,600 people have vanished from our national parks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be to the focus of my end of the
research. What was the number?
Today. 1,600.
Since when?
2001.
See, real quick, side note.
Mm-hmm.
There's an organization called Missing 411. Did you come across any of
this? Yes.
So, when they originally started looking for information, they sought the Park Service with a Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah.
Wanting to know how many people had gone missing from all their parks. And they're like, we don't keep those records.
Yeah, I saw that too. Like, they're like, we don't keep it.
You know how many toilet paper rolls are in each of the parks?
Yeah.
But you don't know how many people go missing?
Well, that's 1600. That's their official number.
Okay.
Okay, that's not the actual number. Like I said, like you said, they claim they don't keep track of those statistics, but something tells me that if somebody goes missing at a park and their family member goes to the ranger's off station or whatever and says, "Oh, my brother Tim Tom,
yeah,
went off on a hike a little while ago by himself and we can't find him anywhere."
Right.
I'm pretty sure they have to write up a report.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. That being said, those reports then get filed. So once they get filed, you know, the reason for the report gets put in a computer and base and all that shit. Their numbers are there somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And then I assume if, you know, Tim Tom is found, that's also reported.
Right.
Right. Because they have to understand how many resources are being allocated to find Tim Tom. So, like, the big question is, where are these people going? Now, a great guy to look into, who has done a lot of legwork on this, is David Paulides.
Mm-hmm.
He is on Coast to Coast a lot. And
was that the missing 411 guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he has that website. He's wrote books about it.
Yeah.
And as to the he tries not to speculate as to what is going on, right? He gives me a little dabble here and there. But he is more focused on the weird circumstances of which they go missing in the first place.
Yeah.
I.e. the big things that don't make sense, like, if a person goes into a national park, you know, in one spot and they know they went on the X trail,
mm-hmm.
why the hell did they end up 300 miles away when they find the body? Why did they end up 300 miles away for the north in the same park?
Right.
Or in however far away it is.
In a short period of time.
Yeah. Usually, like, and the things that keep coming up are missing articles of clothing.
Yeah. Shoes or pants or a jacket.
An inexplicable reason for death.
Yeah.
A lot of times they'll just put hypothermia on there or exposure.
One thing that he does that I really like too is he takes all the statistics from the missing reports and he doesn't count the ones that are found. So all the ones he talks about in the statistical number, like the numbers, are the ones that are just missing without explanation.
Yeah.
He also found that a lot of these ones, like, I can't remember the kid's name, but this one was back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went missing in, like, it was a 330-something thousand-acre, like, federal area somewhere, maybe in Washington State.
Yeah.
And in the center of this was a military base,
mm-hmm.
and it had 60,000 troops, allegedly, there. And this kid was playing with a dog. Two things that he found in a lot of these stories when these people or children go missing.
Yeah.
A lot of them are with a canine.
A pet or a dog. They said that a dog is a really big another factor in this.
And that the weather always gets worse when they're discovered missing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So like that one, he went missing. He was playing with his dog around the side of the house, goes outside of the mom's view. The dog comes back. So she runs around the house. Kid's gone.
Yeah.
And it's like an open area. They don't see it. Immediately, snow starts falling.
Another thing he notices is that when they do find the bodies, they happen to be found in what he calls body clusters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, say one person went missing 5 years ago, and they found the body here.
Yeah.
Like, in a certain spot, right? 5 years later, somebody else goes missing. They're missing for, like, a month. They find the body, like, in proximity where that last body was found.
And even the ones that they find aren't always dead.
Not only dead, or, like, if the body is found, a lot of people could chalk it up as a wild animal got to them.
Right.
And dragged them or whatever. But here's the problem with that is, one, animals aren't going to drag a body that very far.
No.
To eat it. If they just they're only dragging it to cover so they can eat without being, you know, another predator showing up, right?
Right.
Two, these bodies rarely have any sign or mark on them that they've actually been attacked by an animal in the first place.
Right.
So, you have that in there as well.
Some of the crazy shit, too, like the distances that these kids go. I know we keep talking about kids. Like, they're not the only ones that go missing, but there was one that he was what's his name? Paulides?
Yeah. David Paulides.
He was on the Higher Side Chats podcast I was listening to last night, and he was talking about a two-year-old, which, you know, kind of resonates with me a bit because my son's almost two.
Yeah.
You've had a two-year-old.
Yeah.
So, you know what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not capable of walking like 8 miles.
No.
Right.
Jim's six and he gets tired after, like, when we went to the fair last week, he got tired. He was plumb tuckered out by the time we got finished.
Yeah. This kid went like something. He went missing and then was found. Or no, it was more than that. It was 18 miles. Mm-hmm. They found this kid in 18 miles, like 6 hours later. And he had no shirt and he was missing a shoe.
Yeah.
And when they asked him what happened, he was like, I was running from a helicopter. They didn't have any helicopters in the air. Then he said he ran from coyotes. There were no coyotes.
Do you want to know the parks that those types of listeners you probably shouldn't go to? Based on David Pilatus' research?
I hope none of them involve the Great Smoky Mountains, because that's where I'm headed in less than a week.
I don't think so.
Okay. Safe.
Let's see. He's told his audiences before, avoid Yosemite, Crater Lake.
Oh, Crater Lake's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yellowstone, the Grand Canyon, and Rocky Mountain National Park.
Huh.
So we talked about how they sometimes have animals and stuff with them, and a lot of it is like, say, like they're out in the woods and the dog just runs away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they go chasing it, right? And then they inexplicably disappear.
Yeah.
Now, you want to know something spooky that he talked about?
Yes.
A lot of people disappear near places with either the word devil in it.
Yeah.
Or some sort of like satanic like insinuation in the name.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of bodies are found in places like that as well.
Yeah.
There's a place actually that's really spooky around here that I don't even know if anybody goes to anymore. But we went there one time, and it's creepy as fuck.
What is it?
It's called...
You and I went there?
I don't think me and you went there.
Oh, okay.
But it's outside of Camden, and it's called Devil's Backbone.
Mm-hmm.
And people are scared shitless. Like, people don't like going down there.
Why? I thought it was just a windy road.
It's a windy road, but there's a creek that goes down there with a huge rock face, right? And they found dead people down there before.
Yeah. Huh.
But
neat.
Another thing that he found a lot of people tend to do who go missing, like other than having a dog with them or something, is a lot of times they'll also have they brought a camera with them as well,
mm-hmm.
to take photos, and the cameras are never found. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was listening to an interview with him on Coast to Coast, he was talking about how... Oh, okay. So he was talking on Coast to Coast. He talked about interviews with people who have gone in the woods before and have seen crazy shit in the national parks.
Yeah.
Like, one guy talked about how he was hiking in the woods by himself with his dog.
Yeah.
And the dog all of a sudden, like, started freaking out. And, like, its hair stood up while they're in the middle of the woods. And he thought maybe there was, like, a bear or something around.
Yeah.
And he said it looked like there was a giant mirror in the woods.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, it was reflecting him and his dog. Just in the middle of the woods.
What did he do at that point?
Fucking tuck tail and ran.
Time to go.
And there's been other instances where people talk about they'll be in the woods and you hear the sounds of nature around you, rushing water, birds, all those things. And then all of a sudden you'll walk into an area and the shit just stops.
Yeah, complete silence.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we kind of talked about. I know we're all over the place. That's why you love us. That's why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this the other day. It kind of occurred to me, like with these national park disappearances, like the federal government chose the areas to make reserves for this land.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility that they were just like, there's some shit we got to cover up. Let's put it out in the middle of these areas where they can never develop and we will just build trails around these things. But never to them.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've ever been hiking or not. My extent of it only goes to, like, the Smokies.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely... I mean, these trails are crazy. Like, they wind through areas, but there's massive amounts of land that you can't get to.
Yeah.
Unless you're fucking Paul Bunyan, you know, just going off trail and stuff.
Now, other than these people who go missing...
I saw a sign, too, once. There was a trail. We go to the Smokies every year, and my father-in-law and I hike more than the rest of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the trails we went on, it intersected a trail from the, what's the one that goes from like Georgia to the East Coast? The Appalachian Trail?
Yeah.
So it's about a 3-month hike on that trail.
Mm-hmm.
They've got like towns and stuff set up along it to get packages mailed to you if you so decide.
Yeah.
But most of this trail in itself, it's just a long ass trail, you know. So we crossed across the Appalachian Trail on our trail, and there was a sign up a little ways down on the Appalachian Trail. So we went down and looked at it, And it was a serious warning from, like, the federal, whatever it is, Parks Service or something.
Yeah.
And it said, like, if you see people out in the woods, meaning it was, I forget exactly how it was worded, and I wish I took a picture of it, but it kind of alluded to the fact that there are people that live out in these mountains that have, like, not had any contact with society.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fuck with them. And that kind of fucked me up. That's some, like, real-life deliverance shit.
Yeah, for real. And, you know, and the other thing that strikes me a lot is he talks the story about people who, like, one, a lot of these people go missing, they're not, like, novices.
No.
They're people who have either, like, they're at peak physicality in the first place. Like, there was one story I read about a man named David Keller disappeared on the edge of the Rio Grande National Park out in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
And the dude was, like, a varsity track star, fucking... he did Ironman competitions, all sorts of shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he went jogging with a friend of his, and they went up in the woods, and the friend got ahead of him, and the friend came back. And David never did.
Where'd he go?
Well, they searched. So, mind you, this was in the fall that they were doing this jog through the woods, right?
Yeah.
And by the time they started getting search parties out, like you said before, weather gets bad.
Yeah, it's weird. Right after.
And they can't, they brought out scent dogs, cadaver dogs. One of the cadaver dogs looked in an area and then went to the lake and kept, like, indicating that the spot he was near the edge of the lake was where he was at.
Yeah.
But they didn't find anything. They sent scuba teams in, aerial teams. They did all sorts of shit to find this dude. Winter cooks in, they couldn't do shit, right?
Right.
Once spring hit again, they start looking. And they randomly, a different hiker who was just out there, finds his body amongst some boulders,
mm-hmm.
right?
Dead, I'm assuming?
Oh, very dead.
Okay.
Okay. 2.3 miles away from where he was jogging at. And it indicated that he had gone up the side of a ridge and had fallen off the ridge into, like, a bunch of boulders on the ground and died.
Possible, yeah.
Yeah. One thing his mother noted, though, that she thought strange was that, one, she wouldn't see her son doing that. She said he was afraid of heights.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't fucking be climbing up the top of a goddamn ridge. First of all, 2.3 miles away from where he had been hiking.
Yeah.
The other thing they noticed was, is that they indicated that it looked like blunt force trauma had killed him. Yeah. Right? Which would make sense. He fell into a cluster of boulders, right?
Yeah.
But there was also evidence during the autopsy that he had died of hypothermia.
Wasn't cold.
In the fall.
Yeah, that's weird. I know we don't normally get into these, like, cheeky kind of sounding conspiracies, but there's a lot of meat on these bones, come on.
Yeah, okay, so now that we've kind of dug into this is the reality, now I feel like we should kind of extrapolate.
Let me give you another, just a quick story,
because
this one kind of goes a little farther out in the crazy wheelhouse. And this is, I say his name again, David Paulides.
David Paulides.
David Paulides. If you guys check him out on the Higher Side Chats, you can find it on YouTube. He tells a story in one of the interviews he does with Greg Carlwood of, I believe it was a honeymooners couple scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Freshly married, these two, man and wife, they were rock climbers. So they set their honeymoon in, I want to say it was Yellowstone, but I don't remember. So
bad idea.
I'm going to tell you the Cliff Notes version, and you can go check it out for yourself. But so they go, and I guess they had set in their mind's eye, there was like a in this park they had trails,
mm-hmm.
and on some of the trails there were rock walls.
Yeah.
Now, the rock walls were for, obviously, to look at or for rock climbers.
Yeah.
And on top of some of these rock walls were like their own private fucking little wooded areas,
mm-hmm.
where obviously the only people getting there are rock climbers.
Yeah.
So they decided they were going to hike for the day, then they were going to climb one of the rock walls. They were listed as, it was listed as like an intermediate difficulty.
Yeah.
So not for the faint of heart.
No.
Not for somebody without equipment.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a pretty lengthy jaunt of this rock wall. They spent part of the day doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get to the top, they see a child. And there's like, just picture, if you would, they climb this. You know, it levels off, and then there's trees, obviously. And in the tree line, there's a child. And they're like, you know, they climb up. They don't think much of it. They're like, okay, maybe another family's up here. Maybe that kid's a fucking beast.
Yeah.
You know, however to climb up that rock wall, but whatever. People are into different shit. Who knows? Mm-hmm. So they set up their tent. They stayed up there and enjoyed their honeymoon celebration for, I think, a day, 2 days. It might have been a weekend. When they come back down and they get back to town, they see all over the newspapers a picture of that child.
Mm-hmm.
Same clothes, same description, and had been missing since they, like, that same day that they climbed up the rock wall.
Yeah.
Never found her.
Huh.
But they saw her. Let's say she went missing on a Friday. They climbed up Friday night. She was up there.
Hmm.
Never saw her again. There's a lot of those stories in that missing 411 guy's work with kids doing crazy shit like that.
Yeah.
They're being seen, like, way far away. And the parents of the missing child said that they were hiking earlier in the day, and they weren't even that far away from their kids. Like, and there was a bend that went around the mountain,
mm-hmm.
on just on a regular walking path on the trail. This kid runs a little bit further ahead, goes around a tree, and they go around the tree, and the child's gone.
Oh, my God. Do you imagine, like...
Gone, yeah.
Like, I don't even want to know what the feeling would be like...
No.
If, like, you're just, like, turning the bend, and, like...
There's nowhere for the kid to go. Oh,
my God.
Disappeared into thin air. What the fuck?
Oh, that made my stomach hurt.
Yeah.
like, I don't even want to know what it was like for them, like...
No.
To have something like that inexplicably happen.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that being said.
Yes.
The question really is.
WTF, mate.
What is it?
Right. Well.
Is it just. Is it what, you know, your logical mind would lead you to believe that, you know, the wilderness can be a dangerous place and people go missing and. Inexplicably go in strange directions and lose clothes and all that shit. Is that the story you want?
The wild's so crazy that it made 6-year-old child climb a rock wall in less than 30 minutes and be seen by hikers and then never seen again.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Now, I'm sure the wilderness is a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I go into it once a year.
Yeah.
I understand. But even if you chalk away those numbers of the people that fall and... People that get mauled by bears or viciously raped by a pack of raccoons or whatever, yeah, whatever it might be. Even the psychopaths, I'm sure there's psychopaths that go once a year to fucking Yellowstone Park and just go there to kill somebody.
See,
and,
yeah, David Politis didn't seem to think serial killer was a logical explanation for it because one thing he noted was is, one, considering a lot of these instances where people, their bodies are found miles away from where they were at.
Yeah.
He's like, even a serial killer isn't going to be able to drag a body more than a mile before, especially in the wilderness, before giving up.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, I'm just saying all the things you could chip away at the numbers at.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's like part of the statistics caused by these things.
Yeah.
Even people that go out there and like throw their fucking kid off of a mountain and say like, I can't find my son.
Yeah.
You know, or they go out there and kill their dude.
Yeah.
Same thing, or their wife, girlfriend, whatever. I'm sure these all have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the massive, like, let's say we just chipped away 20% of the statistics.
Yeah.
That still leaves a giant 80% question mark.
Yeah.
And my head automatically goes, like you said earlier with the whole devil thing, I'm sure, beyond a reasonable doubt, that there is massive cult activity. Because I've heard stories, you can find stories from Jay Parker on YouTube, where he's talked about, you know, he was raised in what he called an Illuminati Satanist family.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about being sexually molested, satanic ritual abuse, since he was a babe.
Yeah.
And part of his, like, ritual that got him out of it, broke him of the conditioning, was they had abducted a girl, a 16-year-old girl from the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
and brought her to the East Coast, and he was forced to do all types of shit to her. And then they wanted him to kill her, and he said no. So then they slit her throat. You know, I mean, they do abduct people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For these nefarious purposes.
And that being said, if you think about national parks and being in the wilderness and whatnot, it would be a good way for them to disguise their activity.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, when people see shit like this, and I'm sure there's people who are going to listen to the show today, be like, you guys are crazy. They went into the woods and they got fucked up by something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Probably somebody that's never been in the
That's a before. Great way to mask their activity because
yeah.
you have now...
Clouded.
You've clouded the people's ability to figure out what happened to them.
Right.
Right. And like I said, there's no such thing as coincidence in the fact that a lot of these people are found at places named after the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to kind of answer our question for us.
Yeah.
Now, there's other explanations out there, you know, extra dimensional portals, and the reason that the national parks were created was to kind of protect these phenomenon.
I mean, you got all that tasty conspiracy shit in there. Mm-hmm. Skinwalkers, all types of like crazy unexplainable things that I don't go into too much because I don't know anything about them.
Yeah,
you know, but there's definitely shit that's outside of our limited understanding. People think that we've got all this on lock.
Yeah,
we understand, you know. Yeah. We fully get it. The NASA's have figured out that the sun has a big balls of fire, you know.
Yeah.
There's 8 planets.
Yeah.
You know, we know exactly everything that's going on. There's no crazy shit going on. Yeah. There's no portals to extra dimensional entities.
Yeah.
Raccoons can't rape you in a group. You know.
And that's the thing. Like, I lean towards some sort of rituals being done in the woods. Because a lot of the bodies are still found there.
Yeah.
It's just they're found miles away from where they're supposed to be.
And there's probably extra dimensional shit going on too.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're doing satanic rituals, I mean, you're doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. But yeah, I would say that when researching this one creeped me out a lot.
Yeah, it should.
And it made me rethink ever wanting to go stay in a national park or anything like that.
I had a crazy dream. This is a while ago. Because we did a missing persons episode before, I think.
Yeah,
we just kind of shot shit around it.
Yeah.
But when we did that, like, I had a dream not too long after that of going, and it wasn't even, like, the main part of the dream. It just happened in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at Walmart for whatever reason, and Walmart was some giant thing that wasn't really Walmart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm leaving this Walmart mansion forest, going out the front door, the missing persons picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The billboard with all the missing children or people.
Mm-hmm.
It was like miniature TVs. And like all the faces were like screaming. And then occasionally they'd walk away and another one would come up.
It was like Harry Potter.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still remember that shit.
That scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, I'm cool. I woke up.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing though. Like, in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to missing persons, you got to wonder, like, even outside of the national parks and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, people that are disappearing in mass.
They even have stories on that missing 411 thing about, like, adults that go missing from bars.
Yeah.
Did you read any of those?
Oh, yeah. I read a couple things. I read things about children going missing and stuff. And, like there was one that fucked me up. Let me find it real quick.
It's one that fucked me up from my past life as an alcoholic. But I remember us being in several bars. You know, on our bar mm-hmm. hop adventures through Oxford, Ohio. And it'd be like you and the doctor go outside to smoke a cigarette and, you know, you're outside of the only entrance and I'm gone when you come in, missing.
Yeah.
And you just never find me again.
Mm. Like, to get back into, like, the notion of human trafficking and child sex trafficking and stuff, this one got me. This is a story about a girl named Tara Calico. On September 20th, 1988, in Bella, New Mexico, she went for her daily bike ride and never came back. Her mom actually used to accompany her on the rides, but stopped because she felt like she was being stalked by a driver. She tried to get Tara to carry Mace, but Tara refused. That day, her mother set out to look for her along the trail and didn't find her, but pieces of her Walkman and cassette tape. Several people saw Tara riding her bike, which has never been found, but no one witnessed her abduction, although they did see a light-colored pickup truck following her. It doesn't seem weird that a bunch, like... Okay, the mom knows she thinks someone's stalking them while they're riding bikes, right?
Yeah.
But she lets her daughter keep doing it.
That's fine. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, it seemed a little weird.
Many of these stories, too, like, you hear about the parents, and I'm automatically one of those guys that goes, like, you know, thinking, like, the parents did some shit.
Yeah.
But it's like, you are the worst type of person in the world. Like, I didn't want to go bike riding anymore because I felt like I was getting stalked by a driver. But
yeah.
I didn't even worry about my daughter going out.
So.
Piece of shit.
This story gets just a little bit weirder.
Okay, later. Turn it up.
On June 15th, 1989, a Polaroid photo of a young woman and boy, bound and gagged, was found in a convenience store parking lot in Florida.
Jesus.
The photo was thought to have been taken after May 1989 because the type of film was not available till then. Tara's mom thought the woman in the photo was Tara, given a similar scar on her leg from a car accident. The boy was thought to be the missing Michael Henley, also of New Mexico, but that later proved to be untrue, as Henley's remains were later found in the forest a few miles from a campsite from which he had disappeared in 1990. Jeez. More photographs have surfaced of a female bound and gagged, but they haven't been released to the public. The female in the photos has been suspected to be Tara, but the boy remains unidentified. And that photo, by the way,
yeah.
If y'all want to get on there, look up Tara Calico. If this doesn't fucking make your stomach turn, I don't know what will, because it is fucked.
You know that
I'm gonna show it to you right now.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I hope that sometime in my life I am in a position to where I can stop one of these things from happening.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know we are. You know, in the great state of Ohio, they have this report card system. Of course, for it's called Protected Innocence Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about your state's grade for like human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
We got a D.
Oh, that's never good.
No, and the number four, like you know, the top 10 cities for human trafficking, we're number 4, Toledo, Ohio. We don't live there, but I mean, it's in our state. If the QAnon stuff is to be believed, they were going on there for a while. This has probably been about a month or so ago. And they were giving you locations from this country and other countries of, like, the elite's pipelines for child trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
For their elitist pedophile activities, and yeah. How QAnon had systematically shut them all down with military intelligence.
Yeah.
And then there was a story that came out about how abductions had gone up in some cities, like child abductions,
mm-hmm.
because the pipelines had been shut down. Because, you know, they were taking them from other countries, largely. Yeah. So when you shut down the pipeline, they just started snatching everything. But I read on Snopes that that wasn't true. So.
Oh, well, that's good.
So don't worry.
That Snopes cleared that up.
Yeah. Please. Fuck Snopes. I can't believe they're still a thing. I hope they both get caught in this, too.
That'd be nice.
Fucking bitches.
So, basically, and that's the other thing is, like, people have tried to reiterate, like, with this whole children at detention centers and shit, is that people have been abducting children in South America and Central America.
Yeah. What the fuck was that?
Oh.
Okay.
And bringing them across the border, only to find out, like, these people are saying, these are my kids, right?
Yeah.
Not their kids.
Not their kids.
Yeah. What is that?
Is that you?
That's not me.
If you're a listener to the Bones and Tubs podcast and you know what the fuck that sound is, please let us know.
Sounds like a fingernail against something, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's weird. I just started watching that Exorcist show, so that's kind of fucking with me a bit.
See, now I'm trying to replicate it and I'm not getting it.
Fuck it. Let's just act like it never happened.
Keep that on the show.
All right.
That's not you?
No, it's not me. Was that it?
Yeah, is that your phone?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Jeez.
Man, I was starting to get real.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
We're about to get abducted.
Oh my God. I was about to fucking shit my pants.
That's fine. And we're back. But
you still keep in the show. Well, there you go.
Not a professional podcast.
Yeah, we just debunked ourselves there. We're better than Snopes already. Anyways, man, it's just like, and even like when ICE, they're busting these houses full of trafficked people. Yeah. Like I remember there was that video where people were protesting ICE at a house and they were bringing out all these women are like, don't deport them and da da da. And the cops were like, yeah, we just busted up a house that was full of women that were being sex trafficked.
Yeah. What was their response to that?
Nothing. Where's your goddamn priorities?
You know motherfuckers. What I mean? They're like, yeah, well, that's... I mean, but they still deport people and stuff.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
They actually did... For once, ICE actually did something good.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're doing good shit like that all the time.
Yeah.
Wow, look, I'm talking... Oh,
look at you.
Back statist.
Statist in me.
We see the shit all the time. It's everywhere.
The one thing that kind of fucked me up about doing this topic was, like, normally with topics, there's a formula.
Yeah.
You know, we mention it, we talk crazy for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we try to offer solutions.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck kind of solution is there to this?
Yeah.
I can't think of one.
Don't go to the national parks.
Don't ever let your children out of your sight or out of your grasp.
I say that as mine is in a state-run facility right now.
That's fine.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But...
God damn it, man.
Eh, man. That's the thing, like... I just don't know. I don't, like... there's nothing you can do to stop it.
No. I mean, if it's human-related... Like, I read some crazy shit doing this research. Like, there was one, and the president, El Presidente, had told me about it. So I went and looked it up. And basically, there was, like, this man's vacation among the men in the family.
Yeah.
Father, son, grandfather, perhaps.
Yeah.
Uncles.
Yeah.
Couple boss, whitewater rafting, fishing.
Yeah.
Hiking. Hashtag man shit. You know?
Yeah.
And they are getting ready to go or got finished whitewater rafting. So they pull up onto the bank near their cabin. Let's say the cabin's less than 100 yards away up said bank.
Yeah.
The son is right behind the dad. They are down by the boats, by the water, pulling the boats up. He turns around, his son's gone. Like that.
What the fuck?
So... he freaks out, thinks his kid jumped in the water, fell in the water, whatever. So he jumps in the water. First he screams for everybody else. Yeah. So they start looking around the immediate area. He jumps in the water, is looking, doesn't see the kid. Yeah. Nowhere. So then they get the authorities. They launch a search. And I don't know the exact timeline, but I want to say it was less than 8 hours. They went further down the stream, and they found this kid. Like, they took some type of a net. And ran it across the most narrow part, which is still probably maybe like a quarter mile in length of this river. And they net it. They find the kid's body. He'd been raped and just tossed in the water.
What the fuck?
Right, man. So anytime I get a crazy eye, if I ever was to, from a family member or anybody else seeing me pack my car when I go on vacation, I am fucking armed to the teeth.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, me too.
And it's like, I just feel I never can calm down fully. I don't know. But I feel like that's how you have to be.
Yeah.
Because I will go fucking crazy if some shit like that happens.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, like, how...
Yeah, exactly, right?
Like we talked earlier, you want to say, like, maybe some extra-dimensional shit. I'm not sure you can do anything about that.
Yeah.
If that's to be believed.
That, but, or, you know, there is the other option we didn't talk about that has been, you know, a possibility laid upon the table.
The,
and that's extraterrestrial.
Extra dimensional. Extra, well.
Extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Activity.
Right.
And that's where, like, they pick up people to do experiments on.
Yeah. See, I'm...
I don't know about... I'm less, like, apt with that one.
My worldview with more of this reading with the Gnostics and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm kind of gone off the bandwagon with this whole reality thing.
Yeah. Well, I say that it's probably a good time for us to bring up Bozo Tubbs Nation. We're in the search for a book.
Oh, yeah.
A tome.
Some pepper the ground for the next topic.
I'm probably going to fuck up the title, but I'm pretty sure it's called The Ringmakers of Saturn.
Yeah. Let me pull it up real quick. Now, I was looking for this book because... El Presidente sent me this David Icke video about a week ago, and it's titled "Saturn Isn't What You Think It Is," and that video single-handedly fucked me up.
Yeah,
for the next 7 days,
because
I started going through all these other David Icke videos.
Yeah,
all this other shit about Saturn.
I think Saturn deserves its own episode in all reality, or at least the symbology behind it.
I'm gonna send you everything I have.
Okay.
And hopefully you can just power through it.
Yeah.
But they talked about this book. Okay, so the book is titled We've Never Been Alone, The Ringmakers of Saturn. And it was written by Norman R. Berggren. Norman R. Berggren is a NASA scientist. And you can't find the book because it's not in print anymore. So when you do find it, like I just found it on here on Google Shopping, For $8,598.73. Amazon has it for anywhere between $1,500 and $5,000. But basically, he got a hold of some pictures that NASA had taken from the supposed Voyager mission.
Yeah.
And they found these picture in the pictures of, that were snapped by the satellite of these giant fucking craft that were like cigar shaped. And if they're real, they're bigger than the Earth.
Huh.
And they appear to be transferring something to or from the rings of Saturn. So that's a NASA scientist.
Yeah.
But David Icke breaks down all of the various ways that mainstream religions view Saturn. Mm-hmm. Like in symbology, most of these religions are worshiping Saturn. You know, yeah. Saturn is symbolized by the cube, which is also a dark occult symbol for a prison.
Yeah.
Which is neat. But like, look at, what is it, the Dome of the Rock?
Yeah.
It's a cube.
No, that's not the Dome of the Rock. Dome of the Rock's in Israel.
It is in Israel.
Is it?
Isn't that where the Jews go to pray?
Shit. I think so, yeah.
It's either that or the Wailing Wall. But whatever it is, yeah. It's a cube, and they're made to form a circle around the cube, which is another symbol for Saturn when they pray. So they're making a symbol to Saturn when they pray.
Huh.
And like, just various other religions have these symbols of Saturn. Hmm. And like, some of the old school writings are... what have you, have Saturn without rings. They believe that Saturn was once the sun. The rings were created some sort of esoteric way to block our freedom.
Hmm.
Psychic freedom.
Nice.
So I don't know, man. There's a lot to get into.
Yeah, that sounds like a whole episode in and of itself. And with that being said, I think this episode's a wrap.
Yeah.
I would say.
So basically, you just got to watch your kids and...
Yeah. Stay out of the parks, apparently. Fuck.
Yeah. Keep an eye on your babies.
Yeah. We'd like to thank you all for listening. We'd like to thank Ryan Simpson for letting us use his music on the show. Thank you, Ryan.
Love you.
Go check out our Instagram. Check out our Facebook.
Check out the link in our bio on Instagram if you want to buy some Bones and Tub swag over at TeePublic.
T-shirts.
Baseball shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats. Don't know if there's hats. There's sweaters, wall art, pillows, bags, phone cases.
Get it all.
Anything.
Go check it out, and also check out our Patreon if you're feeling extra froggy.
Extra froggy.
You know, for $1 a month, you could start joining the nation.
If you want to get a Bones and Tubs t-shirt, head on over to the iTunes, give us a 5-star review, screenshot it, send it to bonesandtubs@gmail.com. I've got 2 shirts going out this week.
Bones and Tubs is brought to you by listeners like you.
Yeah. Kind of like PBS.
Yeah, but not PBS.
No.
We're not state sponsored.
Not at all.
All right. But yeah, we'd like to thank y'all for listening. We hope you have a good week, and we hope to hear from you next time.
Don't go missing. We love you.
We really do.